Thank you for the privilege of me being able to share some things with men. I in South Africa once every year, it's for 6 days, I take 12 businessmen to a dam in Zimbabwe. It's a big lake, Kariba. Not sure if any of you have ever heard of that dam. But it's 270 kilometers long, and it's probably about 30, 40 kilometers wide. Sorry, Matt. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
It's okay, Matt. That's a bit. And I love taking men out away from the city and away from their workplaces, because I think we get bombarded with so many things. It's just like there's a lot of pressure on men, you know, not only because of our work and being husband, if you are, or being fathers, or being employed and the breadwinners for our families, you know, it's just, but even society nowadays, from a woman's point of view, the feministic groups that come against men, you know, and it's not going to get easier as time goes along to be man. And so this evening I want to talk about a man for me in the Bible that is a man of exceptional qualities and an excellent spirit. And that man is Daniel. And so I want to look at the life of Daniel and just hopefully take some things out of how we can be men. And you know, a lot of these guys that we go fishing with, there's 12 of us, and it's in a confined area. You're on a houseboat with two tender boats behind, so you can go fishing and game viewing, because from the boat you can see lion, you can see elephant, you can, you know, it's just an amazing place to go. But what I enjoy the most is the first day. It's very quiet, you know. You know what us guys are like. And then, sorry, I'm not being a bit crude or rude or anything, but it takes one man to fart in front of the whole lot, and then suddenly we all become men, you know, because men are men, you know. And it says that we're made from the dust of the ground, and that's why we can burp and do things that ladies don't do. But it's not necessarily good manners. Sorry, boys, not necessarily good manners, all right? But, you know, there's something about men that we need to not lose our manhood. In a society where America has named the gender 31 different names for gender, male, female, half male, half this, and, you know, it's just like so weird out there. And men, many men don't know if they're men or not, you know. And I think we need to be a generation where men are still men.
Amen.
And that means we respect our wives. That means we respect women. We respect the government and whatever else we need to respect. But it also means that we're men, you know, that take leadership, that take authority with the heart of bringing through boys and bringing the best of our wives so that they can be the best that God wants them to be. Not because we're the boss of the home or we those things. So in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3. So we're going to look at a man with an excellent spirit and exceptional qualities. What does this look like? So in Daniel 6 verse 3 in the King James Version, it says, "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." And in the NIV, it says, "Now Daniel distinguished himself among the administrators by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." Now, if you think of Daniel, I just want to bring another man, a praying man in the Bible, apart from Daniel, was also David. And I love the strength that David showed when he was confronted with Goliath. David had already experienced the power of God in many areas, but he was a man who prayed while he was a shepherd boy. And even when he became king of the whole of Israel, he was still a man who prayed. And here we have Goliath, a massive man, coming at David with a spear, a sword, and a javelin, and an armor bearer holding the shield. So whatever David was going to throw at him wouldn't get to Goliath. It wasn't only Goliath that David had to face. It says Goliath came to him with the armor bearer as well. So, if you look at it, it was just an amazing thing. Then you look at David, the Bible says he was a good-looking, ruddy, and handsome man, or boy, accustomed to praying. He comes with a sling, and he comes with a few stones. But he comes knowing God was before him, in him, and behind him.
Yeah.
That's how he came. And that's how we as men need to come to the problems of life. Mm. Knowing that God is in us, before us, behind us, and all around us, that we do not fear anything and we stand as men in this life. I think men nowadays, maybe it's only in my country, but a lot of things get men down, you know. And I think the Bible says that with the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, we rule and reign in this life through one man, Christ Jesus. And that's in Romans, I think, 5:17 and up to 21. And part of me just says, actually, men, we need to rise up and lead. We need to rule and reign. If there's continual sickness in our home, we need to rise up and take authority of that in the heavenlies and say no more. And take our position as headship in our homes over these things. But the key to both of these men were that they were men who depended upon God, who prayed much, and both men were led by the Holy Spirit, and they were men of the Holy Spirit. The key statement that we read in the opening text, which is repeated many times in the book of Daniel, that Daniel had an excellent spirit or exceptional qualities, that Daniel first and foremost was a man who lived according to the Spirit of God. He did not live according to the flesh and his desires, and he would not let that control his life, even though he was a leader of a country, eventually. And Daniel enjoyed working according to the values and the principles of God. Now, I want to say that for us in the new covenant, that Jesus still has the love language.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I mentioned it at one or other meeting. And his love language, according to John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, many times, says, if we love Jesus, we will obey him. Just like Caleb has a love language, maybe it's he loves words to build him up, or works of service, or gifts, or, you know, something makes our DNA tick, you know. And Jesus' DNA, what makes Jesus, like, really feel loved is if we obey him. And so that obedience is still under grace, that we obey the principles of the Bible. And so Daniel was not interested in the king's food, nor the king's drink, nor the dainties that were on the table, or the worldly things that were there. Although God blessed Daniel with lots of finances, lots of money, everything, but he would not get caught up with the pleasures of the world. Yet, it was all in front of him, every single meal he had, and the whole day that he worked in the king's courts. The principal thing in Daniel's life was not physical. It was not material. It was about God. And that's why I believe God blessed him exceedingly with everything material. He was well built. He was good looking. But he longed and walked a life after the Spirit of God. That was within him. That was upon him. And these things was what determined his outward behavior. As men, what determines our outward behavior? Is it what we see? Is it what we want? Is it possibly pornography? Is it possibly the flesh of the eyes? What is it that determines our daily walk? I want to suggest that we make it about God. And we make it about what pleases God. You see, he was a man who was led by God and a man who walked with God. Daniel was also a man that started his daily life every day. He started it in the spiritual, and from that position, he would then go into his workplace, which is to lead a nation as second in command. And he would lead it, but he would lead it from a place of God. And I want to suggest that if you come under some teaching that says we got to put God first and then Jesus and then church or your wife and then church and then work and you get that, I want to suggest that you put that aside, and I want to suggest that you put God as the center, and you put work as a spoke, and you put wife, kids, work, church, all of those things as spikes of a wheel, and you keep God the center. And if any of those spokes or spokes, you know what I'm talking?
Yep.
If any of them get a bit rusty or not, then you give it attention. But you are led by the Spirit from God, not because of a law. And when your relationship with God is getting a bit, you know, you feel down and you haven't got that enthusiasm for God, then you give it some attention. But maybe God says, hey, you haven't taken your wife away for a weekend or a dinner or a date for a long time. And then what is, then that's a rusty one. Then you got to say, can I get a babysitter so I can take my wife out for an evening? Amen, men. When last have you had a date night with your wife? Or a date lunch? Or a date weekend? Not a weekend, but a date weekend. When last have you done that as a man? Because she's waiting for you to do it. Surprise her. Because if you do it this way, you're going to come under such condemnation. Oh, I haven't been to church for 2 weeks. He's going to punish me because you have missed this thing. No. Hey, God, I've needed to take my wife away for a weekend. I phoned Mark and Tim, and I'm not going to be here this weekend because I'm going to take my wife on a date. And I'm sure both of them will say, about time, boy. No, not that there's some older men, so you wouldn't call them boy, but about time, man. You're supposed to take your wife for a date every now and then. Once every 3 months, you and your wife need to get away somewhere. And then you get somebody to look after your children for the weekend or for a night, and you go and love on each other again. But if it's like this and you miss out, you get depressed. Oh, I've done it again. Is God going to be angry with me? But if God is the center, you're led by God and you're led by the Spirit, and ye, by the Holy Spirit, you will know where to touch and what to do. Maybe your children, one of your children just needs more of your time. But if you, I must go to church and then look after my boys, then you get yourself into trouble. But if you're led by the Spirit and God shows you, listen, one of your boys need a little bit more of your time, you say, thank you, God. That spoke has got rusty and I want to see it shiny again. You see, we've got to be men led by the Spirit. You catch it? For the will to move. But if any of the things, if your work becomes the center, guess what? The wheel's not going to turn. You see? Because you make that the center. If your manhood, if you being the husband becomes the center, guess what? Everything else is not going to work. So we have to make God the center of our life and then hear him wherever he says we're going to pay more attention to. But you know, you have to work, you have to go to church, you have to look after your wife, you got to do all of those things. But be in the center of God's will and find out which you must give attention to. If he doesn't show you specifically, you carry on with life, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and called according to his purposes. But if he says, listen, give a little bit more attention to your work, because you're not working as unto the Lord, you're working just because you have to work. I believe every Christian man should work as unto Jesus. And he should be the best employer in his employment. And if you're an employee, you are the fairest employee of everybody. Excellent spirit. Within him, all his exceptional qualities. What a legacy to leave. That for eternity to read. This man was an exceptional quality man. This man had an excellent spirit. I would love to leave that legacy, especially with my immediate boys, grandchildren, and then wherever else we minister. That people remember, hey, Kenny was a man with excellent qualities. Naughty, childish sometimes. Like my wife said, I'm a young boy in an old man's body. I need to grow up sometime. I said, it ain't going to happen. Because in every man there's a boy. But just the legacy of, oh man, that's a good man. That's a great man. So let's examine some of these qualities of the life story about this man Daniel, who lived by the Spirit. And he excelled. And he was a man of exceptional qualities. As we are led by the Holy Spirit, may we be men of purpose. Number one, men of purpose. May we be men of prayer. May we be men of perception. And may we be men of power. And we'll look at those. Two of these things tell of the cause, purpose and prayer. And two things describe the effect. The cause is found in the fact that Daniel was a man of prayer. And he had purpose. The effect is, and can be seen in his life, that he had perception and that he was a man of power. So let's look at Daniel as a man of prayer. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat and the king's drink and the king's alcohol. And I honestly believe that purpose is at the beginning of everything in our lives as men. If we don't have purpose as men, our families are going to struggle to get through life and get somewhere. I believe many men drift into trouble for the lack of having purpose. Or having something in the heart in accordance with the Bible that they want to lead and they want to get to in their own lives and then help their families get there. Men need to put their hands to the plow and do something. We as men need to make decisions, I believe, from the center of God's will that touches every sphere of our lives. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared for us in advance in Christ Jesus. So I believe in our very malehood, our very manhood, there's a purpose that God's got for us. And God prepared it in advance for us to do. So how do we get to that purpose? We find God and we ask him. And then life and all of our DNA actually helps us a little bit in terms of where God wants us to go and what purpose he wants us to walk in. I believe when we have purpose, it helps us with three things: to have anchorage in Christ during times of storms. That if we have purpose and storms of life come, We can go through the storms because we've got a purpose. Jesus says to his disciples, I want you to go other side. On the way there, they had a storm in the will of God. We're going to have storms in life.
Yeah.
We're going to face storms in life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a given. But Jesus says, you will have trouble in this world, but peace I give you and peace I leave with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in the storms of life, when we men of purpose, we'll go through those storms. How many of you have been through some storms?
Yeah.
How many of you go through a storm now and you forget that God helped you in the previous storm? I'm just asking. I'm going to be kind. But we forget so quickly that God helped us last time. And we think our whole world's coming apart right now. But actually God helped us a year ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe even a day ago, and we forget that. And the disciples was in the presence of Jesus. He fed 5,000 people. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. Everybody got fed. 12 baskets left at the end, covered, full with food, that they couldn't eat more. And then they get on the boat, and they're hungry, and they said, Lord, are you going to let us starve? He's just fed 5,000. Like, they forgot, like, it was like hours ago that he showed the miracle. And yeah, they say, Lord, don't you care, you know? And I think we can be like that and forget that God actually helped us last year, the year before. And he will help us through this one. And he will help us through the storms we're facing into the future. We just got to make him the center and not the storm the center. Because as long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on the water and on the storm. He took his eyes off Jesus and he made the storm the center and he sank. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus through the storm. The second, it creates us in us a godly strength and a godly willpower to win if we have purpose. It just somehow gives us some strength. Like even if we've got to like really grit our teeth to get through this. But it puts something in us, backbone in us as men, that we can go through a storm. Because ultimately in every man we want to win. Is there anyone here that does a man doesn't want to win? You want to lose. You don't want to, you know, then it's the wrong meeting. Men want to win. Not that we're competitive. We don't win at the expense of others because that's totally ungodly. But for ourselves, we want to win. And we don't want life to overcome us. And then, I believe purpose helps us to lead and be examples. Lead and be examples to our children, to our boys, to our girls. One of the things my boys have just, you know, blessed us as we've gone along, and they texted us yesterday. We were married 35 years on Monday, me and Maureen, and they texted us from South Africa, and they said, Dad, we've seen you go through many, many wars. We heard that you were a couple of years and you had to take life in a war and be part of a war where my friends died next to me and you know, those sort of things. But Dad, we've seen your example and we want to be like that. Through anything in life, you've shown us how to win. And that's, you know, if that's all I've shown my boys, then I'm cool. Because they're going to be winners, you know. They're going to pull through. Men of purpose know how to win, even if it's difficult. And then we help others. In every walk of life, when a man has found his purpose, he is already halfway through to victory within himself. When he knows his God-given purpose, he can wake up confidently every day and said, I've got something to work towards. Daniel's purpose was simple, but yet sublime. He says, I will not touch the king's dainties. I will not drink the king's wine. And that was the simplicity of his purpose. He was going to honor God and not be caught up with the flesh, but be caught up with God. That was his simple. And he lived his whole life around that. Daniel purposed in his heart that the values and the qualities of life to honor God was the main thing. The other thing Daniel purposed was that loyalty to God expressed in a behavior, not law, in a behavior. He separated himself from the corrupting influences that life brings. I want to say, if any man has a problem in pornography, the only way to get rid of it is don't watch. Don't put that TV on. Because the temptation is there all the time. But you don't put occasion plus temptation equals failure. Or, I don't hate that word failure, because we get to do it again. But you know what I'm saying. So don't make the occasion come. If there's an alcoholic, the temptation is always there to go drink. Because there's pubs all over. There's casinos all over. But he stays away from that place.
It's an addiction, which is like drugs.
Absolutely. It's all addiction. But if we purpose in our heart to live for God, none of these things should have a hold on us. And if it is addiction, we can be set free by the power and the grace of God. Because his love is for that. Right in the beginning of his senior employment, because he was second in charge of a whole nation, he stood strong in his belief that it's all about God and not about his own pleasures, his own delight. And because of that, God gave him lots of wealth, gave him houses. If you read what he had, he was a very wealthy man. But he never ever failed in this thing. I'm not going to be caught up with the flesh, I'm going to get caught up with the spirit. And so many men arm wrestle for the sake of the flesh instead of, hey, I've overcome the flesh and I'm walking in Christ. And that battle will be with us till we die. We have beautiful beaches in South Africa where the sea is 22 to 24 degrees, beautiful, open, and the ladies wear very little costume sometime, you know, bikinis. And you got to be a very strong man not to look twice, but it's good to look only once and not again. Not, it won't happen with you guys. Jeez, you guys are such holy, holy men of God in this place.
It's too cool.
Let every man here today, I ask, purpose in your heart that you'll be loyal to Jesus. The simplicity of purpose is this. I, as a man, commit myself to Jesus in truth and grace. And that you can confidently say, I am his, he is mine, and I will follow him. He is the center of my life. As simple as that. Remember that the purpose of loyalty to Jesus is simply that he is the center of our lives. And everything else works from that place. And we live freely with that. I have many men that say to me, I try but I fail. I try to be a good Christian, but this and this stands in the way, or this and this happens. And my answer is, standard answer always is, find your center and let it be God your center, and let that be in order for the circumference to be whole and the wheel keeps moving in life. Find God there. Find him as center. God has to be the hub of life activities, and the spokes of the wheels of life's journey will turn smoothly. Daniel's simple purpose was to put God first. Nothing has changed, I believe, because the Bible still says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added to you. Yeah. Nothing's changed. But we put other things as a center. Maybe it's a cause for something. Maybe we want to argue something. Maybe it's arm wrestle. Well, that's what I say. Well, actually, where's God there? If God was there, would you say the same thing? You know, so God has to be the center. And you know what we fight about most in our lives and fight with ourselves? Is the peripherals. It's everything around the actual thing. You know? And then we argue about so many things with ourselves, and we try and, you know, actually, if God's the center, does some of the stuff that we argue about matter? I think New Testament law is when we want our own way in everything. I know, okay. All right, that's hectic. It's, you know, it's my way or the highway. And we try that on our wives and possibly even sometimes with our kids. Instead of taking them somewhere and helping them through their mistakes and through the things they go through in life. And most of our wives are probably more spiritual than we will ever be. I'm talking for myself. Second thing, Daniel was a man of prayer. When Daniel was asked to interpret the king's dreams, you know what he did? He called his friends around, and we miss out some of those little scriptures. He calls his friends around to hear what God's saying. You know, when it comes to a corporate experience, when it comes to prayer on something big, get some friends around you. Because sometimes we think we're the only ones that can hear God on every issue. But God's never made life so that we can hear it only on our issue. He's given us friends, and he's given us family. He's given us our wives. So Daniel gets a whole lot of friends and has a corporate prayer meeting that he might pick up Father's heart for the situation. I'm not taking away that quiet time that you have between you and God. But when it's big issues in life, when it's major decisions, get some trusted friends around you. My suggestion always would bring it to the elders of the church. Let them pray with you. And I think many times the elders are quick to direct and little to pray. I think we need to pray a lot of things with our people. And I'm not saying your two guys are doing that. But it's just across the world I find it. That you, then they come, you know, we feel we got to move to another city, or we got to do this. We want to buy a house. Hey, let's pray. God, what do you say? God, what do you say? And then we bring the counsel of God in, and then the prophetic word comes, and the word of God comes, and there's a whole lot of answers that come in the days ahead, and then suddenly we have found the will of God. See, Daniel was able to do that. But as the story moves on, we discover that Daniel was a man who had regular habits of prayer. In fact, he turned his face to God three times in a day. And he sought Father's heart. And he sought Father's face to help him lead a nation. I wonder sometimes for us men, that if we in the morning or just before we go to work, halfway through our jobs, in a tea time, so you don't steal time from the company, and maybe when you get home at night, you just say, God, help me. Is there anything in this work situation that I can do different? Or, because God's heart is for every man, wherever he works, to have profit. God wants profit. That's why we work. We work to make money, to make profit. Not to be greedy, but to make profit. Because the kingdom needs to advance. And so we get before God and we say, God, God, God. Three times a day he sought Father's face so that he could lead that nation effectively. In him doing this, we discover the secret that underlies his fulfillment in walking in his purpose. He had a purpose, but the only way he could fulfill that purpose was to pray. And I want to say, when you get the purposes of God and you're loyal and you make God the center and he gives you some things there to sustain it and maintain it, it only can come through prayer. And sometimes the prayer of many around you. What happens with us men, we go through a difficult time and we get into a man cave. We don't want anybody to know that we're going through a difficult time. Hey, when you go through a difficult time, you get a couple of trusted friends around you and ask them to pray. And if it's really hectic stuff that can change destiny or course, you go to your elders and let them help you pray so that Father's will can come into this. It's a safeguard. Is that good?
Yeah.
Helpful? In leading a nation, he sought Father's help, and he needed Father's help to lead that nation. I think if we got children, we need Father's help to be good fathers. Because even in the book of Ephesians, where he writes on marriage, it's from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 32. He writes two verses on women and the rest on men. How we ought to be. And I often wondered, hey God, you, well, the women are actually the problem, not us. Why don't you write a lot to them and little to us? But actually he writes a lot to us. And even when it comes to parenting children, he addresses the fathers, do not exasperate your children. You see, why does he only address the fathers? I think it's because we got to hear him on how to lead our families. I've got two boys, they're 32 and 30 years old. But both of them are so different, and we had to bring them up differently. In one household, they were totally different boys. And we had to bring them up differently. But if we didn't make God the center, we wouldn't be able, we would try to bring them up both in the same way. Can't do it. We've got to hear God. And they're both amazing boys, both chartered accountants and doing very well, you know, in terms of their businesses and things like that. But different. The one is 8 to 5. That's how he works. The other one's entrepreneurial. He'll work right through the night, then not work the next day. And who knows what he does. But he's so everywhere. And he forgets everything everywhere. I don't know how many times we had to cancel his phone because he's forgotten it either in America or England or wherever he's working. Hey, Dad, my phone's gone. Like, hey, I'm in South Africa. You there. What can I do? No, cancel it. Just cancel it. With the other one, you'd never do that. But if we don't have God in the center, I'd have a problem with my absent-minded, genius older boy. Our success and purpose is only as powerful in our execution and our dependence upon God in prayer. Our heart may be firmly determined towards loyalty, but unless we know how to lean hard onto God Himself, the forces that come against us can actually overtake us. We've got to learn how to lean into God powerfully. I've felt many times that that as I would work with the different levels, even when I was an engineer in the factory and I had huge staff, and when I was in the police force and I worked there with also huge staff, and then getting out into the church world, I was a very strong leader, and it by and large had to be done my way and all of these things. And many of those times that I wish I had known the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has helped me. And he said, Kenny, you are getting in the way many times that I wanted to deal with the person, but you got in the way. You got to learn how to duck. And I wish I had learned that years ago. I would probably have had more friends in life today. Because I think a lot of people hate me from those years and they don't know me now. Because I was very strong, you know, and fired people left, right and center and just all of those things, because they could not do it the way I wanted them to do it. So they got fired. And then God just threw life that... that I can't change hearts. I can't even change people's behavioral patterns. Yep. I can't change personalities or character. But I remember Jesus says, you will be baptized with me, and Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire. Mm-hmm. Oh friends, when Jesus is the center, and the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with fire. Yeah. And all those things that come and stop us from doing things, he burns away. And then he puts the fire in us so that we can enjoy God. The fire of the Holy Spirit is to cause havoc in those things that mess with God's sons, but also to increase the love and the fire of God and passion in us. Yeah. It's got multi-purposes. And I wish that I knew something of these things earlier on in my life. That I could walk with such dignity and lead strongly and be a man of strength, but yet with the grace and the mercy of God with me. Still, if a guy does wrong, he would probably have to get fired because there's principles and policies you work with. But it wouldn't be immediate. It would be a journey in helping a guy through and seeing this, and this. But those were the days. And so man, and meaning to do right and depending upon God and prayer is absolutely invincible. Batman's got nothing on you. Superman's got nothing on you. Arnold Schwarzenegger's got nothing on you. When we men, we have a purpose and we pray and get God into it.
Yeah.
We become more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who's inside of us. What praying does for me, it determines our sense of personal limitations. We need God. I don't want any of you to get to the place where it gets so difficult that you then need God. Need God every day. Not as a needy person, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as God, I need you today. God, you have called me to work to make money. Give me the customers. Give me the right clients to work with. God, won't you do that? That you know your limitations and you know that God can actually look after you before the day even begins. You need God. Secondly, it shows that we believe and trust as God as our source for life and godliness. Actually, God, I can't start the day without you. And it's not this holy prayers. Don't have to go on your knees and do, hey, God, I need you today. In the shower or whatever. Hopefully you got a shower in this country. But in the shower, you're standing there and say, God, I'm going out to work. Give me the nation. Give me the wealth of this place. I think the wealth of the world is stored up for the righteous. But I don't think the righteous is chasing after it. Not in terms of greed. Like, I want money. But God, out there, there's so much for me because the kingdom needs my money, my tithe, my offerings. This church needs it for the gospel to be preached. Well, give it to me, Lord. But then just make sure you obey the commands of Jesus in those things. And then the other thing what praying does, it says we are weak, but he is strong.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean. It's not like, I mean, I don't ever think I'm like weak. But God, there's things I'm weak in. There's things that is a kink in my armor. It's got a little dent in. And God, I'm weak in those areas. Can you make me strong? And prayer helps us to look to God to make us strong. And we don't try on our own strength. In weakness, we must learn to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We need to run to him and not from him in these moments. We have limits, but with God, nothing is
impossible.
You know the scripture. And what prayer does is saying, God, there's nothing impossible for you. I'm looking to you. This is not possible for me, but with you it's not impossible. And then the scripture that says, all things are possible to me through Christ Jesus. Why? Because I've been in prayer to the one that's going to give me strength. Then we can rise up in the confidence and go with it. We have not because we ask not. I believe we need to learn the secret of dependence of God, because in our own strength we cannot overcome. Daniel also learned another truth, that he and God were stronger in partnership. Men, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. But we got to have the source of heaven open. We got to open the tap so the rivers of living water can flow.
Yeah.
For that to be a truth. David never saw the size of Goliath and his armor bearer. David saw the size of his God and David, like Daniel, were both men who prayed. I want to invite you to be men of prayer, trusting in God, recognizing His power, communicating with Him, always leaning hard into Him, and form habits of prayer. That is not law. That is just being clever. Because we need God.
Yeah.
Then Daniel was a man of perception. This man who sorted out godly purpose for his life. A man that received divine strength because of prayer. When we do those two things, I want to tell you there'll be clarity of vision. And we will then be able to accomplish the work God's prepared in advance for us, because clarity will come. Something will just settle. Yes, this is it. How many times do you find yourself wanting perception or discern between what's right and wrong? Or is this the right line? Isn't the right line? Is this what is right or wrong? And I think when we know what our purpose is, when we pray, we will then know how to answer that very quickly. Because we will get a keenness of insight. And you will not be swayed by the temptations of the day. Daniel was never swayed by the king's drink and the lovely food and the ladies and everything that's around the king's place in those days. You will have sensitivity of soul. Be sensitive to people, to things. There'll be a quickness of the perception of life. What is actually going down? Wisdom within where there is a crisis in life. When you know the goodness of God, you will smell evil before it's even happened. They say a teller in a bank gets taught what bad money feels like. They get taught what good money feels like. So when bad comes, they know it. May we be men that have purpose and pray that we can perceive when bad is around. Because we know the good. Because we know our God. So we can smell it. You can taste it. You know this is not right. That pub, that strip show, that place where you know it won't be pleasing to the Father. You know. Why? Because you're full of good. And those things won't affect you. In fact, in Romans 16, we are told to be wise about that which is good and innocent about that which is evil. You look at most things in life, we always try and find the bad and then look for the good. I want to say look for the good first and then try. And then let God reveal the bad.
Yeah,
in each other as well. Find the good in each other. Find the good in people. See the good in each other. And what others can become in God. It is very easy to point out mistakes. But I believe it takes a man of purpose and prayer and perception to see what somebody can become in God. And you can, you know what, I don't know, my Bible says the love of God covers a multitude of sin. And isn't it so easy for us to point out sin and to point out the bad and not the good? I think the scripture for me says we've got to look for the good and God will sort out the bad. And God will do it because He can. But we need to be wise about that which is good and innocent about that which is evil. It is not the first look to a beautiful lady that gets you into trouble. It's actions afterwards that causes a problem. It is always that one drink for the road that causes a trouble. And I'm not giving license to drink. I'm not doing that. But I'm trying to point out how easily we can be overcome with these things. Let's have one more for the road. Then that one more becomes 10, you know, after the 10th one, you're still having one more for the road.
Yep.
And those are the things that if you haven't got purpose and you haven't got prayer, will be easily to fall into that trap. And so we got to be men of perception. Perception through having a godly purpose and a good prayer life. And live a life worthy of God. Whatever that looks like. You will know the good, so that when bad pops up, you will smell it. We need this to help us bring up our children. And then finally, let me have a look at Daniel, who was a man of power. Before he could become a man of power, he needed to be a man of purpose, a man of prayer. A man of purpose, a man of prayer, who perceived right from wrong, because he was close to God and God was the center. And then he became a man of power. And this man Daniel, was an amazing fellow. But because of all of these things that he did, purpose, prayer, perception, he was recognized by his peers and the bosses of the day, and he was placed in a position of power. Promotion comes of the Lord. Any promotion, whether you're secular employment or anywhere, promotion comes of the Lord. I'm not suggesting that if you take the position of prayer and purpose and maintain a good life of prayer and follow it, that you will automatically get a massive promotion. But you position yourself for God to do whatever God wants to do for your life.
Good.
I am saying that a man of godly purpose, prayer, and perception becomes a man of power. And what is that power? That power is to be able to say no. Should I go on or is this hard? Able to say no. Men who will say no in the midst of the temptations that come our way in life. We only get to have this power when we take our stand, because we have sorted out our purpose prayer and we're getting the word of the Lord. And God can make us strong and we are not tempted by all types of things. Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, "Whoever has no rule over his spirit is like a city broken down without walls." Proverbs 17 verse 27, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit." Proverbs 16 verse 32, "He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city." You see, if we have purpose, prayer, know, perceive God's thoughts and God's things, we will have power to say no and to say yes to the right things. Let's be men of excellent spirit. The areas I believe God wants us to be men of prayer or men of power is found again for me in Ephesians chapter 5, 1, which says, "Be imitators of God, whom he dearly loves, and through Jesus, who gave his life as a ransom." I believe that in that area, we got to know that God loves us. Even if you sit here with a whole lot of issues in terms of some of these things, maybe it's even sin, I want to tell you, God loves you. He doesn't love you less because you have those things, and he's going to do everything to help you through it if you allow him. And then the second thing is that which is purchased by the blood of Jesus is the church. Friends, we got to love the church. You got to love where God's planted you. You got to love, if you're in the rock, you got to love the rock. You mustn't speak bad of her because she's another man's bride. Somebody talks bad about Maureen, you know, small as what I am, if he talks bad about Maureen, as big as what he is, I'm going to rush at him and probably get hurt in the process. But anyhow, but he will know that I'm not happy that you're talking about Maureen.
Yeah, good.
Yet we can speak so badly about the bride of Jesus.
Yeah, wow.
Friends, we got to look after this bride. As we got to know we loved, we got to look after his bride. Then it goes on and it says, do not be filled with wine that leads to debauchery. You know what type of wine that is. I mean, you don't have to be a prophet to know that. But he says, be filled with the wine that leads you to speak with one another in psalms and hymns. In other words, you speak to each other properly. Rather be filled with that spirit than the one that leads to loose living. Then he goes and he says, these three places, I want you to imitate God. He says, husband and wife. Mm-hmm. He says, parents and children. He says, children to parents. Employer to employees. Employees to employer. Those three areas, you imitate God. And we, in those three areas, need to have the power to say no to ungodliness. And no to the things that we can release in all of those places. I should be able to go to your place of employment as a South African. Knock on the door, can I see a Christian? Yeah? Do you know who's a Christian in your company? And they should be able to tell me immediately, that man.
Yeah.
Why? Because we do our work as unto the Lord, not as unto man. We imitate God in our place of work.
Yeah.
And we have the power to say no to crooked deals. And the power to say yes to work honestly. Because that's what God wants. Hey, let's be men. Let's be men. Let's be men of excellent spirit and exceptional qualities. Because we look after our spiritual walk. And how do we do that? We love the Bible. We love the church we're in. We love our wives. We love our children. We have a purpose. We pray about that purpose. We learn in what's right, wrong, because and you won't even have to learn it, because God will show you the good. Because God's a good God. And he will show you the good. And when there's evil, you'll smell it. And I don't want to do that. That's going to harm this. And what if my children see me? Actually, it matters more what God sees than your children, actually. And then, let us be men of power, like Daniel, who could say no to ungodliness.
Yeah.
No to the things of the day, and yes to the things of God. Let us be men who enforce the victory of what Jesus achieved on the cross. He has won the war. Let us, as men, win the battles, because the war's already been won. But let's win some battles. You might lose some battles. It's okay to lose some battles. But don't give up in the battle. Just go try and fight that again. But get some brothers with you. And if you make big decisions, do it together. Trusted friends, though. Not just anybody. If I want to make a business decision, or if I want to make some decision that's really big, I look for a person where I look over his shoulders that I can see success. If it's a business decision, I look for a business person that's successful.
Yeah.
And then I go and ask them. Because you don't want to go to somebody unsuccessful, because they are learning still to be successful. You learn from success. Stand together. Be men that count for the King and his kingdom. That's my bit this evening. I don't know if anybody has a question or two. Because I'm sure Tim and Mark will answer it very well. Any questions that I could possibly help with? Or is it clear as mud?
Yep.
Any particular question? I'll give you a minute or a few seconds just to think about it. Men of purpose, how do you find your purpose? Find God. And if you still can't find a brother, or go to your elders and say, help me to find purpose.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.